AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A shooting at a gay nightclub has killed five people and injured 18 more in Colorado Springs. Police Chief Adrian Vasquez says as horrific as this shooting was, it could have been even worse.
While the suspect was inside of the club, at least two heroic people inside the club confronted and fought with the suspect and were able to stop the suspect from continuing to kill and harm others. We owe them a great debt of thanks.
President Biden has released a statement about the shooting that says the U.S. must not tolerate hate. The statement adds, while no motive for this attack is yet clear, we know that the LGBTQ community has been subjected to horrific hate violence in recent years. Delphine Leneau speaks for the Human Rights Campaign.
It's just horrible to contemplate. It's especially horrible timing considering that today is the Trans Day of Remembrance, which is an annual observance for the transgender people who have died in violent circumstances over the past year.
The suspect, who is in custody, is identified as 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich. Well, this has become an all too familiar sound in parts of western New York State as residents there try to dig out from under several feet of snow. Erie County Executive Mark Polenkar says they're making headway.
We've made great progress in the overnight hours and early morning. The advantage of not having snow after midnight last night has allowed our team effort to get in there and make a big difference.
The storm has set a state record for the amount of snowfall within 24 hours. Orchard Park had the most overall snowfall with 77 inches. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres says the COP27 climate conference has fallen far short.
Our planet is still in the emergency room. We need to drastically reduce emissions now, and this is an issue this COP did not address.
The conference did agree to set up a fund to help poorer nations deal with the effects of climate change. A Brandeis University student has been killed, more than two dozen others injured, when a university shuttle bus crashed in Waltham late last night. Draken Garfinkel, a student at Brandeis, is shaken.
It's really frightening to me because oftentimes I used to go see my brother in Boston, or he comes here to see me, and just to think if one of us were on that bus.
The bus was returning to campus from a hockey game at Northeastern University when it slammed into a tree. The January 6th committee will soon be wrapping up its work. Will it be making a recommendation for criminal charges against former President Trump?
I think the evidence is there to make a referral, and we just have to decide whether that's the course we're going to take.
Committee member Adam Schiff was interviewed on ABC's This Week. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
Pride.
Left corner, three in the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Roxanne Watson is on a mission.
Hello, how are you doing today?
She wants more people to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors.
Are you an organ donor?
Yes, I am.
Yay! My goal is to sign up the most people in the United States.
What drives her? Roxanne's own life was saved through the gift of a heart transplant, made possible by an organ donor.
I decided that day that I was going to devote myself to the cause of organ donation and signing people up and honoring my donor by doing that.
Now she's back to health, and she's a powerful force helping to save lives every day through her work. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life.
8 people can be helped with the major organs, and up to 50 people can be helped with a little bit of everything. And when you think about it that way, that you could help that many people, it's amazing. It really is.
Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 26 this afternoon under sunny skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 22. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, high of 31. Daytime highs approaching 35 Tuesday under partly cloudy skies, 43 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 23.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. What soundtrack was that on? Was that on the Striptease soundtrack with Demi Moore?
Not sure about that. It's Billy Ocean.
I know. Yeah. I feel like I just had a playback in my brain.
Flashback?
Yes. Of a soundtrack that I feel like I danced to in my room when I was 9, and that song was on it. And I remember choreographing 9-year-old dances to that song. I don't think they would hold up on TikTok these days.
tougher crowd.
All right. Well, welcome to the last hour of the Wednesday show of As Goes Wisconsin. And for the next half hour, our guest is in front of me right now, Nick Ramos, who is the Wisconsin Voter ID Coalition Coordinator for Vote Riders.
Hey.
Welcome to the show, Nick.
Man, thank you for having me, Kristen.
Make sure you talk directly into the mic so we can hear you.
Hey, thank you for having me, Kristen.
Yeah, so happy to have you here. So let's just start at the very top, because as I learned in my entry into Get Out the Vote work in 2020 in Wisconsin, there are a lot of organizations who are trying to do just that. Nonpartisan, C3, and really don't care who you vote for, but just wants to empower you to vote. Mm-hmm. So how is Vote Riders different than some of the other ones out there, or what are you as an organization focused on?
It's a great question. So Vote Riders is a nonpartisan, nonprofit national organization that was created 10 years ago. And it's different because we're focused specifically on voter ID laws. So a lot of organizations, they're doing voter registration work, you know, and they're trying to just get people, you know, to vote in the first place. My work is a little bit different in that I'm not married to any one election. So the goal here is to try and help people get IDs, birth certificates, social security cards so that they can vote. In a state like Wisconsin, where we have a strict photo ID law, if you're going to vote with an ID or a driver's license, it can't be an out-of-state one. It's got to be a Wisconsin one. And so we just want to eliminate the barriers for people. And I know that being out in the field, you know, I've talked with a lot of people, and a lot of them are like, you know, either A, I don't really have the money to pay for, you know, these documents, like underlying documents to go get an ID, or B, like, you know, what's the point in the first place? And I'm like, yo, like, I don't care if you vote right now, but I just, like, down the road, like, if you consider it, great. But I know that these documents are going to mean so much more for you if you're looking to get a job, you're looking for housing. And so we're just trying to help people get documents, and we pay for all that stuff. We pay for the transportation. We try and make it as simple as possible for people.
So how do you find the people that need help? Because this is what sometimes I kind of think of being, like, as we were joking online, being an online person and appreciating the one-to-many relationship you can have with people online, and things can share quickly and go viral or whatever. And so you can reach with the right message, you can reach a lot of people in a shorter period of time than knocking doors or picking up the phone and calling people. And yet, I constantly try to remember that the people who probably need to hear it most aren't necessarily online. And so how do you find, as an organization, the people who may not have an ID or may not, you know, have the internet literacy to navigate websites that help you get this information? Because sometimes I think we just take for granted how easy it is for all of us our age to navigate websites, that is not straightforward for people who didn't grow up on websites.
Hey, amen to that. And, you know, like, before, like, jumping into this work, like, I was, you know, not even thinking about the privilege of, like, just having internet, having a cell phone, like, being able to access all these resources. And so my big mission has been, since the beginning of me starting as a coalition coordinator, is first, I want to build those relationships with the organizations that are in these communities that are doing work with constituents all across the state and trying to help them be able to work with, you know, I've been creating these voter ID clinics all across the state. And what that looks like is, you know, I will work with partner organizations like homeless shelters, like DV clinics, like shelters, and, you know, places where people really do need these documents and they're in a really tight space where they might not necessarily have the means, the transportation, the money to be able to go ahead and like even know that like this stuff exists. Mm-hmm. So big part of it is navigating and trying to build those relationships all across the state with those organizations that are doing amazing work across the state. And then, you know, when they're doing intake or when they have like rice giveaways or like food giveaways, you know, I'm just trying to meet people where they're at. And instead of just posting a million things on social media that'll just fall on deaf ears because it's not really hitting the people that really need it the most.
It's hitting the people who already care.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, that's great, you know, rah, rah. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, can you, like, get me in connection with, like, the people who really need this most? So, like, I'm constantly, every week, reaching out to new partners, trying to see, you know, who are they working with and doing my research to see, like, what's, like, the impact that they're making in the community. And then we build programming off of that. And it's a lot of voter ID clinics.
And so what we kind of just touched on it, but I think sometimes this topic of why is it so hard to have an ID? Because I think a lot of us just assume if you're going to drive as soon as you turn 16, it's kind of this foregone conclusion that, of course, you have an ID. And sometimes I've had these conversations of why would someone not have an ID? So what is kind of the myth busting around that narrative?
It's a great, great question. So what we understand here at Vote Riders is that across the country right now, that there is at least 25 million voting age Americans that do not have a valid ID at this moment in time. And that's like 10% of the voting age population in the country. So if you were to take 10% of the voting age population here in Wisconsin, we're looking at about, so there's like 4.6 million people that are able to vote here in Wisconsin. So 10% of that's 460,000 people. So that's 460,000 people that are roaming the state right now without a valid ID at this moment.
Are you allowed to just, obviously you need a license to drive, but if you're, because you think about sometimes people who get stopped by the police and mm-hmm. says, like, can I see your ID? And so is that a law that you're supposed to have an ID just to be able to be identified? Or is it not a law that you can exist in the world without an ID and you're not breaking any rules?
You can exist in the world without an ID, but
yes.
I have to say that, like, your life becomes a little bit more difficult not having that ID for a variety of factors. I mean, you mentioned, you know, if you get pulled over, you mentioned, literally, I think about just, if you want to apply for any job or any housing opportunity, they're going to ask, like, all right, give me some
passport,
documents,
yes,
literally,
yes.
To verify you
your
are
W-2,
who you are.
Or W-4, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So with that knowledge in mind, like, I'm sitting here, like, 460,000 people in a state where elections are literally decided by the thinnest of margins. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yo, like, our work is never done then, because I know that I was looking at literally the polling data from the last presidential. That was decided by like 20,000 votes. You think about some of the gubernatorial, like it's usually in that 20,000, you know, close to, you know, 1%.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm just like, yo, like, I mean, we have to grind like there's no tomorrow. So, you know, for me, like there's never a dull moment with this job. And I'm always trying to do outreach to figure out, as a coalition coordinator, I'm building those coalitions to try and figure out where can we find this 460,000 people. Mm-hmm. And we can try and get them documents one by one.
Our guest this half hour is Nick Ramos, who's the Wisconsin Voter ID Coalition Coordinator for Vote Riders. And so I might have cut you off, but so what are some of the scenarios of why someone wouldn't have an ID?
Oh, great question as well. So I think what I've seen, at least in some of the clinics that I've done, a lot of times people have either lost them. Like, I've worked at the domestic violence shelters. So they're dealing with a situation where their documents might not necessarily be on them. You know, they had to run and get away from whatever situation they're in. And they're just starting over from complete scratch. Homeless individuals that I've worked with, they've gotten their wallets stolen. They might have had an ID years ago, but they've gotten by without using it. So in those scenarios, like, it's very helpful when, you know, there is a record of them in the system with the DMV, because then we can just look them up and do everything online, and it makes it so much easier. But for those first time individuals that have never had a Wisconsin ID in this state, or, you know, yeah, I mean, just specifically those individuals, you know, there's a little bit more of a process. They need a photo on file of you, and there's no mobile DMV, so we have to actually go in there and fill out the paperwork and everything. And then the other layer of it is like, well, you need those underlying documents like a birth certificate, like a Social Security card to actually verify you are who you are. And those things cost, well, the birth certificate costs money. Social Security card doesn't, but it's a little bit of hand-wringing to verify yourself online to get that Social Security card in the first place. So there's a lot of work and effort that goes into it. And a lot of people, I don't blame them for throwing their hands up and be like, you know what, like, forget it. Like, I've been able to get this far, you know, just surviving. So why would I even bother in the first place trying to go down this rabbit hole to get a birth certificate or get a Social Security card?
Well, and it's also, I would imagine, a population that is just, like you said, surviving in a lot of ways, either surviving a temporary situation, whether it be homelessness or a domestic violence, trying to get relocated. And so their attention towards just getting through today and tomorrow versus how does this election affect me,
right,
I would imagine is a couple steps away from convincing them of how important it is. And so with the before we go to the break in about 2 minutes, how does that work for someone who is experiencing homelessness and doesn't have, because you can't register to vote at a P.O. box. And so how does that work for people who are trying to establish residency or get an ID when they don't have a permanent address?
And a lot of times with the clients that I've worked with, you know, we establish residency with the shelter that they're at, and they can prove residency by having that shelter write a letter and sharing with, you know, showing that this person, you know, Joe Schmo has been living here, you know, and will continue living here, you know, to fulfill the residency requirement. They can prove and use that part for the residency part, which is great, because you're absolutely right. We can't, you know, it would be great to be able to sign people up to a P.O. box, but you have to have a location. And luckily, you know, the Wisconsin Election Commission has allowed it so that we can have those individuals use the shelter they're at. But we know that it's such a transient bunch, you know, like these people might not be there for that long of a time. And so we want to try and make it as easy as possible for them. But I understand the frustration that, like, you know, they don't know where they're going to be, you know, the next day. And so we try and work with them, remind them, you know, the importance of all this stuff. But in the same breath, I just want to plant a seed. I don't want you to think that you have to get all this stuff right now to go vote. If you decide down the road that you're in a place where you can go ahead and vote, great. But, like, I want you to have your documents so you can do so much more.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a break really quickly. Our guest this half hour is Nick Ramos, who is the Wisconsin Voter ID Coalition Coordinator for Vote Riders. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Quality Foods makes Thanksgiving meal planning easy. Get your Thanksgiving dinner from Quality Foods on Baker and West Grand. Complete heat and serve whole turkey or turkey breast dinners with mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing, green bean casserole, and more. Even your choice of dessert. Just reheat and serve. Voila! Thanksgiving dinner is done. While supplies last, call ahead by November 21st to order. Thanksgiving dinners and the fixins from Quality Food Baker and West Grand at Wisconsin Rapids. Get the details at qualityfoodswisrapids.com.
Hi, everyone. Listen to my show, The Matt McNeil Show, weekday afternoons at 3 p.m. on the Shaw 101. 1 hour every weekday where we'll talk all sorts of things like politics, especially with what's going on this election season, plus a lot of other things, too. Parenting, the arts, religion, music, beer. If it matters to Wisconsin and Minnesota, we'll talk about it. Phone calls are welcome at 952-946-6205. For 1 hour each day, come see the train chimp, The Matt McNeil Show, with the aggressive progressive Matt McNeil, 3 p.m. weekday afternoons right here on the Shaw 101.
I'm Tumani. When I was younger, I may have did some stupid things. I committed some crimes and even got shot, but I'm not a criminal.
That's right. I'm Jamal. I work for Youth Advocate Programs. Yeah, I was Tumani's advocate, helping him stay out of jail, stay in the neighborhood, get a job, and work hard to see a better future for himself. If you have a change of mindset, you can have a change of action.
As a little kid, I experienced trauma and I acted out. Made some mistakes, but I'm not a mistake.
No, she's a good student and a great kid. As Jalen's Yap advocate, I'm always here for her. With the Youth Advocate Programs, I was able to connect with Jalen.
YAP is a community-based alternative to youth incarceration, congregate placement, and neighborhood violence. After completing our program, 86% of participants were arrest-free. YAP works.
And now, I'm a YAP advocate, helping kids like me find a better way.
Youth Advocate Programs. Others talk social change. We make it happen. Learn how at yapinc.org.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Nick Ramos, who is the Wisconsin Voter ID Coalition Coordinator for Vote Riders. And what are some of the stories? Because you said this is your first job, first year in this position. So what have been some of the surprising elements of your job since taking over this role?
Well, I mean, we could spend a lot of time talking about
stories.
We got
8 minutes.
All right. Well, you know, I'll rattle off a couple real fast. So, you know, I was talking to you before I hopped on. You know, I was in Waukesha yesterday, and when I was talking earlier in this podcast about just the partnerships that I've been able to develop. And so Barbara Becker with Disability Rights Wisconsin, you know, she emailed me, I think either late last week or early this week, about this voter by the name of Deborah. And Deborah is a elderly disabled woman who her driver's license has expired, you know, literally, I think it's 2-3 years ago. Never had an ID. Really has been like, she called frantically to because she wants to vote. And Barbara's like, can you please just figure this one out? You know, we need to get her all her stuff, get her registered, get her to vote. I'm like, all right. So I hit up Deborah. Deborah's just a sweetheart. I was like, do you have some availability on November 1st? I'll literally drive to Waukesha. I'll come pick you up. We'll go to the DMV because we tried to do it all online, but we struggle bust on that one. Yeah. Like they could not find her in the system. So I picked her up, went to the DMV. We tried to get her a driver's license, but didn't pass the vision test, which is okay. But we were able to get the ID instead. Drove her to City Hall here in Waukesha, which was pretty cool. I was walking to a court, like a whole like court, but you know, it's just a City Hall building, which is cool. But we got her registered to vote. And we were able to get that vote counted. So in about an hour and a half of going from ID to register to vote, we were able to get that vote banked. And it was super exciting. I was very, very excited about that particular one. The other one I can think of was literally during the August primary. This was another referral, but this referral came from the Milwaukee Elections Commission because I believe one of their election inspectors called me. It was early. I was very discombobulated. He called me, got this elderly gentleman here, doesn't have an ID. He came here to vote. So I drive over to this gentleman's house. I'm like, can we just find some documents that you have that we can use for the ID petition process here so we can get you a free ID and get you voting? So we're going through all his documents and stuff. I'm just trying to find anything that's got his name and his address on it. I'm trying to find, he was able to pull a Social Security card out, which was great. I'm like, you got a birth certificate in here? He's like, it's somewhere in here, but there's a stack of boxes. I'm like, all right, we're going to gather as much stuff as we can. We went to the DMV. We're able to get him an ID that doesn't expire, which was awesome. We roll back up to the polling location. Everyone kind of like claps and looks at us. They're like, we did not expect you guys to come back so quickly. I'm like, you know, I mean, everything went buttery smooth. The DMV was cool. We were able to get his documents. He was able to cast his vote, and he was the biggest skeptic. He's like, I did not think I was voting at all. And wow. I was like, you know what, man? That warmed my heart. You know, I shared it with the team, and they were like, wow. You know, so those were a couple cool victories, and I'm very proud of it. You know, and there's never a dull moment in this job, no doubt.
Yeah, I can imagine.
What was Deborah's reaction when you got her documents and everything lined up?
Oh, she told me she loves me. And she hugged me, and she kept on saying that she's like, my son was very skeptical of you because, you know, she thought that, like, you know, this random guy is going to go kidnap her. I'm like, you know, I'll talk to your son. I'll talk to whoever. Like, I think I'm a sweetheart. I'll talk him off the ledge, honestly. But she was very happy, and I'm very grateful for Deborah for trusting in me.
So since starting this job, how do you feel about how hard or easy it is to vote in Wisconsin?
Wow. Mm. Realistically, and I know that, like, my higher ups will hate this answer, but realistically, like, in a perfect world, I would hope my job would never have to exist. That, like, there wouldn't have to be someone that literally has to pay for this stuff for people because everybody could pay for it. Or there wouldn't even have to be this requirement that you even need a Wisconsin ID or driver's license to vote in the first place. And yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's one of the strictest photo ID laws states in the country. And I just remember back in 2016 when I was doing voter protection work across the state and getting to see the photo ID law in effect for like the first really big one. And I remember the exit polling and feeling like, there are so many people who stayed home because they just did not want to bother. Like, they did not even, and there was people that had the right documents and were just like, you know what, I'm not even going to exert the energy. I don't want to be turned around. Like, and I'm just like, you know, I cried that night, and I remembered I always wanted to come back to this kind of work, and I was just waiting for an opportunity where, you know, the stars were aligned. And so when this job opened up, I was like, you know what? It's time to get back out there and just try and help people get these documents and stuff. But
because you're a lawyer by trade, are you using? Do you use your law degree in this job?
Yeah, not so much. you know, I mean,
big Marquette guy. Yeah, just be like, right. Oh, I guess I have this. Just have this pretty diploma.
No, it looks great. You know, collecting dust in my office. But, you know, like, I will read through, like, some of the cases that end up going before the courts here that do involve voting. And, you know, when people need, like, an understanding of, like, what exactly, like, the rule of law is going to be on, like, a particular situation, I'll, you know, give them my best lawyer impression. But, yeah, I haven't really been practicing much. And you know what? It's okay. I think my peace of mind has been better for not practicing, honestly.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with the minute we have left, what do you want anyone in the audience to know as far as what information they can have access to or where they should go check out or follow? Yeah, 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, if you got anything from this, if you need any help getting documents, IDs, birth certificates, Social Security cards, Vote Riders will help you get this stuff for free. If you need transportation to any of those issuing offices to get any of those documents, we will pay for it for free. You can literally find us at voteriders.org. If you have social media, we have, you know, it's literally at Vote Riders on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram. I wish I could rattle off the phone number for you right now, but believe if you're able to get on the website and you scroll down to the bottom, our hotline, which you can call and text, we have live people right now that will help you. English and Spanish, we're here to help you out.
Absolutely. All right, Nick Ramos, thank you for coming in today. Check out Vote Riders. We're going to take a break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Game day. Green Bay and Minnesota. Place the frozen tundra. Kick off your new year by scoring tickets to this longtime rivalry at Lambeau Field January 1st. It's our New Year's Day Green Bay giveaway from WFHR. Register for your chance to win two tickets at one of our Dropbox sponsors. Jennings in Wisconsin Rapids, Hoozles at the Lakes in Rome, La Taqueria in Wisconsin Rapids, and Piggly Wiggly in Nacoosa. One registration per person per location ends November 28th. One name then drawn at each Dropbox sponsor wins a $50 gift card and a chance to win the tickets. The game day winner will be randomly drawn and announced on November 30th. It's the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway from locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg roll showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org.
Hello, music lovers. Tim the Polka Guy here to let you know the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show is moving to a new time slot, 12 noon every Saturday. So join me for the best in old-time music every Saturday at 12 noon right here on the new WFHR 97.5 FM and AM 1320.
My husband, Alex Hussey, was hit by an IED in Afghanistan.
I was point man on foot patrol, and I stopped on the bomb. Lost my legs and left hand in an explosion.
And he suffered a severe traumatic brain injury.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
There are so many mountains to climb, and we do it together.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories great and small.
Seeing Alex learning how to snow ski, that's life-changing.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than a million veterans each year.
Alex did it. He skied down this mountain. That's something he won't forget.
With the right support, there are no limits.
To see him on that slope and smiling like that, we'll be taking this home.
This has meant so much. Thank you, DAV.
Alex Hussey, thank you for your service. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Daytime highs approaching 26 this afternoon under sunny skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 22. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow, high of 31. Daytime highs approaching 35 Tuesday under partly cloudy skies, 43 Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 23.
Cheering at the Lambeau, this is the year we make it to the big show. Far passes, makes touchdowns, and we will do the Lambeau leap in Titletown. Move with us, chant with us, and you will be a Packer fan just like us.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Well, this season may not be one we want to remember, but who will remember is the Packers historian, Cliff Kristol, who joins us for this segment, which I'm so excited about because we're going to talk about his voluminous book, The Greatest Story in Sports, which was recently published and won an award from the Wisconsin Historical Society. Welcome to the show, Cliff.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So we're so excited to have you on here. So you've documented 100 years of Packers history.
Yes. I don't know if there's ever such a thing as a definitive history, but that was my aim when the project started, and it's four volumes, decade by decade, and I think there's close to 50 pages of footnotes to confirm, you know, sources for everything I wrote, because there's a lot of things in the book that have either never been written before or were incorrectly included in other books and stories and so forth.
And so how long did this take you? Like how much did you already know to be true that you could kind of just do by memory versus having to dig down and do reporting and fact-checking and to really get the full story that you ended up publishing?
Well, the writing and continuing research became pretty exhaustive the last 3 years. You know, I was working long hours, well, 7 days a week. But the project actually started when I was a sports writer with the Milwaukee Journal. And there were some books written in the 1980s about Packers history that included a lot of information that made me very curious. But when I read the books, there was nothing that was substantiated. And I thought, well, there's no way I can use this in a newspaper story because it's not credited to any sources. It's pure speculation, mostly conspiracy theories. So at that point in time, I started going page by page through the Green Bay Press Gazette, starting basically with January 1, 1919, and got through 1962. When I read the paper regularly growing up in Green Bay, and read every single issue over those 40 issues. And also then the Journal Sentinel had me write a history of sports in Wisconsin in 1999. And they allowed me to go through day by day through microfilm up to 1950, which was around the time I was born and became familiar with Wisconsin sports shortly after. So I had also done that research. So a lot of research had been done, plus I started interviewing people in the 1990s and probably had what I'd call oral histories from maybe 250 players, coaches, fans, scouts. So it was a long, I guess all along my idea was to write this in retirement and retired from the Journal Sentinel, I think it was 2007 or 2008, and was working on the project, and then the Packers offered me the job as historian in 2014, and I just, knowing myself, I realized that if I just continued to work on it as an individual project, I'd probably be researching until I dropped dead. taking the job with the Packers meant there would be deadlines, and I'd have to get the book written by a certain point in time.
Well, this is going to be the Christmas gift, I think, surprise for my parents, because it looks incredible. So what were some of the stories or the myths that you were most surprised at when you were researching them that you either confirmed or dispelled?
Well,
Everything okay?
I had another phone call here. I'm sorry. The book is more than just a history of the Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
It's, to a large extent, a history of Green Bay, at least since 1900, and how the football team became an obsession for most everybody who lived here.
Yeah.
And so there were sections that I really enjoyed research, particularly enjoyed researching. Prohibition and the effect that that had on the Packers' survival.
Oh,
I mean, in truth,
yeah.
Green Bay wasn't any different than towns like Canton and Rock Island that all lost their team. In fact, it was much smaller. Didn't draw any more fans, really, in those early years. But it was the favorite road trip for just about every team in the league, and that was largely because they didn't necessarily make much money coming to Green Bay, but Green Bay ignored the 18th Amendment. The bars never shut down, and it was at a thriving red light district on the north side of town.
Oh!
So, the visiting teams would come, and they'd stand in line in one of the brothels. one of the former sheriffs of Brown County once said, who grew up in that area on the north side of town, the industrial side of town. And another was the lifestyle of Curly Lambeau and why people accused him of going Hollywood. And looking into his three marriages, the second to a Miss California, the third to a woman who had been married three times and had profited from two of the three. And actually, Curly has a son that, as far as I know, is still living, who was named Earl Lewis Lambeau II. But because Curly wanted nothing to do with him, he changed his name at a young age. And I had heard about the gentleman, looked into it, called him, I think it was 2007, and started asking him questions, and he was rather upset with me that I discovered him because he had really told nobody. I had heard that he was interested in the Lambeau family health history, and I had researched all that. I knew how each of the Lambeau siblings had died, what they had died from. So we worked out a deal that I would meet him in a parking lot in Phoenix before a Super Bowl. And he would answer my questions, and I would share the health information I had. And when we were done, he had one stipulation. That was that I'd not use it until I wrote a definitive history. So I sat on that stuff for almost 13 years, 14
wow.
years. The whole thing about his mother and the relationship she had and with Curly and how he met her was on a Packers played an went on a barnstorming tour in Hawaii in 1932, and two players took a ship from L.A. to Hawaii, and two players started fighting over this former Miss California, and Curly interceded and walked away with a woman and came home and told his once high school sweetheart, who had been married for 13 years, that he wanted a divorce, and then married this woman, had this child. And then Green Bay has that. When I was growing up in the 50s, there was this bitter rivalry between East and West.
Okay.
Us old timers still have a little of that in our blood. And so the battle over the stadium, what is now Lambeau Field in mm-hmm. the 50s, was a 3-year process where money wasn't as much the issue as whether they're going to build it on the east side and the west or the west side. And because Green Bay had a city council of 24 members, 12 east siders, 12 west siders, they could never get anything done. All they did is fight over where they were going to build it.
Okay.
And Tom Olenicek shared with me his father, Dominic Olenicek, was president, headed the search for the hired Vince Lombardi. They actually offered the job to Forrest Evashevsky, who was the head coach of Iowa, first. He turned it down, and then they turned their attention to Lombardi. And Tom, who was a local attorney, retired now, allowed me to look at his father's notes from that entire that he kept throughout the search. And then the 70s and 80s, when I was a sports writer and the lousy teams that I covered, got to reflect on that period of my life.
Bring back the memories.
I called, Yeah, the gory decades of the 1970s and 80s, when they were a victim of terrible coaching, lousy management, you name it.
We're talking to Cliff Kristol, who is a veteran sports journalist and who has been serving as the Packers team historian since 2014. We're talking about his Herculean effort of writing the greatest story in sports, which is a comprehensive 4-volume history book detailing 100 years of Packers football. And just to remind us, how did the Packers, because I think I know some of the details in the back of my head, but how did the Packers end up becoming a nonprofit that no one could profit from selling them, which is why we still have an elite football team in a tiny, relatively tiny town like Green Bay?
Well, the first year of existence was 1919. They were sponsored by the Indian Packing Company. Their first 2 years, they played independent ball. In 1921, they joined what was then the American Professional Football Association, now the NFL. They were the second smallest city in the league next to Tonawanda, New York. Mm. Tonawanda played one game and folded. The Packers have played 1,000 and are still in existence. And Acme Packing had purchased a firm in Chicago, had purchased Indian, and they sponsored it briefly. But then they were, by October, they were deep in debt. Banks in New York and Chicago had taken over. They were like the equivalent of $50 million today in debt. So, and the Packers were losing money, so they barely survived that season. The next year, Curly Lambeau and George Whitney Calhoun, the sports writer, who were the co-founders of the team, created a private corporation. And that, too, was deep in debt by the end of the season. They had a great, terrible weather throughout the year where attendance was, maybe less than 1,000 people at a couple games or more. And it was following that season when a group of local businessmen headed by Andrew B. Turnbull, who was the one of the three owners of the Green Bay Press Gazette, and John Kittle, a local attorney, told Lambeau and Calhoun that they would get the community behind the team and create a public corporation, and that's when the Packers became a community property, 1923. They went into receivership in the 1930s when a local fan fell out of the stands at Old City Stadium, sued, won a judgment, and for about 17 months, the Packers were in receivership, and that's when they reincorporated as the Green Bay Packers Incorporated, and that's the corporation that owns the team as of today.
That's so fascinating. I can't wait to get this. Like I said, I'm going to buy this for my family for Christmas, because it seems like they're just the stories you were saying about Prohibition and all of the different details that you found and been able to collect into this book. I'm so excited and happy that we have someone like you who could spend, it sounds like, almost a decade, and obviously built on all the experience you had as a reporter, to collect such a, storied history. So, and congratulations on the award from Wisconsin Historical Society. That's very exciting.
Yeah, it was. I was truly honored, and thanks for the compliments. And one thing, if for readers, if they're interested, this is kind of a no holds barred look at the history of the team, even though I'm employed by them. Mark Murphy, the president, assured me that when I wrote it, I wouldn't have to pull any punches, and
right.
I certainly didn't.
That is even more enticing. That's a good teaser to get everyone out there for their Christmas presents for this year. So, Cliff Kristol, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure we'll have you back when we have some Packers questions that only you can answer.
All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Have a great day. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
As you go about your daily life, look closer. As you gather with family and friends, look closer. Right in your community, there are youth who don't have the home, warmth, and healing you have. So, look closer. Every year across America, a staggering 4.2 million youth are homeless or trafficked. Covenant House is the national leader providing safe housing for youth 50 years strong. Tonight, 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed. And tomorrow, they will wake up surrounded by love. Every youth who walks into Covenant House gets clean clothes, hot meals, medical care, and a safe place to sleep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in sites across America to help them fulfill the great promise of their lives. So, look closer at Covenant House and help us fight youth homelessness. To help or get help, go to covenanthouse.org.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide, and their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
The Devil's Advocates.
Well, if the rapture comes, I hope they take me and leave Dom.
If the rapture comes, we'll be here tomorrow, Mike, taking your calls. We certainly appreciate it. 844-967-2789.
Come on, man. You must mean the royal we.
So relevant, they have 1 foot in tomorrow.
Hey, if you want to go meet your maker, Crudy, don't let me stop you.
I'm your maker, man. 844. You've already met him.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. I think I could get Charles in a referee costume.
I think you could, too.
He seems like he has a good sense of humor.
Absolutely. Who would think that a pollster would be so much darn fun?
He's also Southern. That little Southern twang.
Yeah, a little bit there.
That was fun. So I think he's traveling. So I can only imagine him trying to do all these interviews while he's also on the road. So we are grateful that he spent a little time with us. And we'll get deeper into what we want the polls to say. No, I'm just joking. Dan Schaefer is going to join us at the top of the next hour because I know he wrote a piece on his analysis of that poll and what it means. And so we will join. He will join us in 10 minutes. But, you know, as I'm thinking about what segments are we going to fill the void with once the election is over, as we come back and do this show in not an election cycle.
Yeah.
And I still love this idea of doing like a Wisconsin in the Wild segment where pop culture is Wisconsin pops up. And this one, I don't know if this would qualify, though, because I saw this story making the circles around social media on big accounts that are feel-good stories, and it took me seeing it multiple times for me to realize that it was in Milwaukee.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's a woman in Milwaukee who does this, I guess, every year. So she posted all of this on her Facebook account and gave updates throughout trick-or-treaters. She got a lot more trick-or-treaters than I did, which we have to figure out how to change that for next year. I need to emulate my mother. All right, so she said, I'm handing out full-size candy bars per usual, but I'm also putting a potato in the bowl, just to see what happens. Updates in comments. So, first kid, very young, takes a potato and is incredibly excited. Tells every other house on the block, I got a potato! Parents, very confused, but excited about it. Next person, teen girl, what happens if I take the potato? Me, you'd have a potato. She did not take the potato. next kid, older teen in a Reaper mask and a plastic grocery bag took the potato, turns to his friends and parents and says, potato! Parents are again confused and less excited and ask if they can grab a candy bar. Of course, I say yes. This goes on for a while. So we are now at 15 potatoes.
15. I just want to clarify. There is a bowl of candy full-size candy bars.
Not the cheapskate ones that we got.
Not the
little
minis.
Fun size.
Not the little minis.
Full-size candy bars.
In a bowl with a potato, and the children...
Uncooked, not baked,
it's just
not loaded.
A raw potato.
Not french fries. A raw potato from a sack of potatoes.
Children are choosing the spud.
At least at this point, 15 potatoes.
Wow.
And we're still, there's lots of updates here. I'm going to fill this whole segment with the updates on the potatoes because I think this is hilarious. So we are now at 15 potatoes. A group of teens in steampunk outfits came by. They're peer pressuring friends into getting it. Every teen is yelling about the potatoes. Amazing. They're all yelling, potato gang! At each other. She said, okay, we went through a 10-pound bag of potatoes.
That's insane.
We are now in our reserve potatoes. It's just, potato's just a fun word to say, too. We'll just leave that there. I think this is why this segment's so fun. We are now in reserve potatoes. Kids are specifically requesting potatoes. We have given away 28 potatoes. Two first grade-ish age kids were like, what's this? And I said, potato. They chuckled and grabbed it, showed their parents, and where'd I go? Oh, that one got cut off. All right. When we had one parent come up with a kid, laugh at the potato, and then take it for his brother.
Oh, sure.
We had one kid ask what it was, then say, no potatoes. Then pause and put the candy back to take the potato. They have no decorations up, by the way. So kids are, we had decorations up. Now I need to know what Milwaukee neighborhood this was in. At this point, they've gone through 40 potatoes. Parents have told us they've heard the legend of the potato and been scouring the neighborhood.
You got to go find the potato house.
This isn't correct. We have still an hour to go and only two potatoes left. We've had multiple parents say their kids have been clamoring for potatoes. We have given out 44 potatoes. And then someone asked how many candy bars. And she said, I think about 150 full size. And we're almost all the way through a 150 piece mini and a pound of other candies, which are surprisingly popular. Also a lot of pencils. What neighborhood is this? I'm so intrigued.
It's got to be an educator. Who else gives out pencils?
Or potatoes.
Yes.
One kid asked if the potato was real or fake. And then finally, we are out of potatoes. The last group fought over the last potato. Final count, 46 potatoes in 100 minutes with 50 minutes remaining on trick-or-treat time.
And I bet that last potato grabber really felt like a victor.
Just really bragged about it.
The end of the Hunger Games, man. I got the last potato.
The joy of Halloween potatoes in Milwaukee. So now it'll be interesting to see, as this has gone and gotten shared so much and gone a little viral, if people start copying this idea. But I love it. I think this is... It's hilarious how the human brain makes decisions. Like, we are not rational thinkers.
No question
we're certainly,
about that.
Children are not rational thinkers. As adults, we're not rational thinkers. Like, we don't make, like, this whole idea of, like, in economics that we make decisions out of our best interests. Totally false.
No.
Totally false. We just do things because they seem funny or cool or...
amusing.
They're somewhat, like, makes me special. I could talk about this with my friends. Because who wants a potato over a full-size candy bar? Apparently, 46 kids.
Well, and... years from now, they will tell the story of the potato house in Milwaukee. It was my Halloween potato.
Do you think it was because it's a potato and it's... you think the same thing would have happened with like a banana?
It's tough to say. Now, that's the experiment for next year.
Next year.
The potato house people need to get someone else on the block with a competing food.
Or like a turnip?
Turnip is not sexy.
Brussels sprout.
That's really going to scare children.
I did see someone, this was another post-Halloween viral moment, of someone who was wrapping Brussels sprouts in candy wrappers just to trick kids. How mean is that? Can you imagine opening a candy wrapper? You think it's going to be like a chocolate truffle, and it ends up being an uncooked Brussels sprout?
That's just mean.
And so, yeah, we did. So now at our house, because we barely got any kids, I just...
How much candy do you have left over?
Well, not that much because I've eaten a lot of it. The Skittles are gone. As we know, my pension for Skittles. They're not the purple ones, which is really disappointing. But, you know, we do what we do. All right. When we come back, Dan Schaefer will be here. And we'll get back to the serious topic of polling and not potatoes. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial.